Hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, my darling.
Hello, Mama. How you doing,
I'm
sweetheart?
Doing okay this week. Doing okay.
You know, okay?
I said last week, I have great news.
Yes.
I did not buy a golf cart last week.
That's right, you didn't.
And I still have great news. I did not buy another golf cart. Plus, I have even greater news,
what?
Which is I may sell a golf
you
cart.
You may have sold a golf cart. We may sell a golf cart.
I may have sold a golf cart.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Because it's kind of funny because you have, we're Julie, Christy Marie and Julie, by the way. We're mother and daughter. We're coaches. You're a psychotherapist. I'm now officially
we're
have
authors.
My master's degree.
You have your master's degree.
In education.
And I am celebrating you beyond belief.
I'm celebrating you as well.
Yeah, I know.
And you can go to my course starts next week, by the way, my
30-day
course.
Again.
Yes, I want to talk to you about that a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. Weightlossandstress.com. Mm-hmm. Go there. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you're somebody out there that eats emotionally or easy because of stress, I just love it. Like, hey, just follow this program, just do this and you'll lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, which programs really work?
Mm-hmm.
They all work.
They all do.
They're all about consuming a lot less calories than you are now.
And working out.
And they all work.
Yeah.
Now do it. Go ahead and do it.
But I'm stressed out from the day or I got a bad phone call with my boss or whatever.
Right. And it's like, if you're like me, it's like, you know, that pressure builds up in your body. And, you know, if you're not a drinker.
And you're not a smoker.
Yeah.
You know, or a midnight poker.
Yeah. Then you're
That's the song.
I do know that song.
Okay.
I love that song.
Excuse me. A midnight poker.
Woo, 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 woo. I love that song. Mm-hmm. And so go to Weight Loss and Stress. All the information is there. Weightlossandstress.com. Let us see you in the class. It's free. This last time, because
mm-hmm.
I'm still tweaking it, because I'm, as an instructional designer, I'm kind of like in the, this is my project.
Yes.
And my baby, and I'm making it as good as it possibly can get.
You bet.
And I'm excited about it.
And speaking of tweaking, we're also authors of The Clutterfly Effect, Tweak Your Way to Total Transformation.
Yes.
And I think we will be coming out with the new book, the Weight Loss and Stress book shortly.
100%. And so, you know,
so
like
who
you
are
said,
we?
we're
crazy girls.
You're crazy. You said that you've been crazy lately. You have been crazy lately.
I have been. I've been really wondering why I've been crazy.
Yeah.
And I, you know, thought it was about Normano's knee replacement surgery in June,
mm-hmm.
because it just seemed like a long, and he's still having a long and intense recuperation, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And, but to be honest, I think I've been crazier a lot longer than that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Probably.
And you know, I want to just say a shout out to all those people out there that have gone crazy for a season.
Yeah.
And still
like our dog.
Live to tell about it.
Our dog's going crazy right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, he's got a little ear infection and he's like
again.
Needing love.
Well, you know, it's good that you know who you are. You know that you're crazy right now.
Yeah. And it's not that I mean, I can find some peace.
Mm-hmm.
I find peace within it.
Right.
And, I mean, I certainly have learned a lot, and I've been able to reflect a lot. But also there's just been something on the surface that is just prickly.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, we've seen older people that say, I don't care anymore. I don't care what people think of me.
No, right.
Or I'm going to talk louder than, you know.
I'm going to state my opinion about everything right now because I'm 80 years old, you know, and I got the right to. And that age keeps getting lower and lower. It's like the song, you know, say what you want to say. Let the words come out. Honestly, I want to see you be brave.
I want to see you be brave.
And you're going, maybe not that brave.
Maybe
I don't want to really hear what you think.
Yeah.
Because.
Well, I'm just, I mean, I never have been one of those people that just go, oh, you know, people don't like that because I tell the truth.
Yeah, I'm telling the truth here, people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But.
I think Elliot made you louder.
Oh, sorry
You're
about
good.
That.
You're good.
But anyway, Dad and I were traveling down Loudoun Road.
Yeah.
And we came across this guy.
Sorry, people. Oh, there we go, people. I'm sorry, everybody. We're just having a little bit of technical issues. Go ahead, girlfriend. It's crazy.
The dog is a technical issue.
Yeah, no kidding.
He's like laying on you right now.
Laying on the equipment.
He wants attention.
He wants attention.
Can you rub his belly while we're talking?
Yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. But we came across the old guy. Do you remember the old guy from last winter? We stopped him on the road. He was cutting down trees with his chainsaw. And it was like about 20 below. And he was like... He just looked like this Eskimo. And who knows? We didn't know he was, but he's little.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So we had stopped him because Normana was saying he wanted some leaves chopped down so when he parks his truck on the side of the house, it doesn't scratch his paint job.
Right.
So we saw the guy. He had his little chainsaw out, and he's just a little guy. I go, Norm, that's the guy we pulled over and asked, and now it just sounded ridiculous. Because here's this little old guy. He's obviously 87 years old. Because he and we pulled over and just said, "Hey, could you get in the car and bring your chainsaw?"
Well, you were crazy then.
Yeah, so I was crazy then.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking about this that we would just pick this guy up and bring him to our
home.
Because he goes, "I'm 87 years old and I'm just doing this for my sister." And besides the fact that Norm's just using this like really neat thing that you bought him. To take some of these leaves down.
Yeah.
And a chainsaw would not work anyway.
Well, good. So I'm glad he's using it, the thing that we bought 3 months ago.
Yeah.
And I lost the bet because I said, I'm going to bet you that he can do this in a week, like because he's been hammering us to use it. And like, get this for me now.
Oh, on your way out, make sure you get this, whatever this tool was.
Yeah.
And it's an awesome tool.
Right.
It really is. I've seen him use it. But it was interesting because he was doing these leaves.
Yeah.
And there's this one section of leaves that are really obvious that need to go for the truck.
Right.
And that's the only one he didn't do.
Of course not.
It's so passive aggressive, right?
You know, speaking of truck, I've been working for Dad mostly because of his knee and so forth.
Yes.
He's gradually getting in. And one of his co-workers stopped me. I'm pulling into the yard to get a trailer to go for my run for the night. And this guy backs literally right into me, like right next to me, and I'm with a trailer, and it's for the, he's like, "Hey, where's the old man at?" And he's, I don't know how old he is, but he's got to be in his late 60s, early 70s. And I go, "Oh, he's got his knee surgery, so I'm helping out." And he goes, "Oh, how'd that go?" And I'm talking, and this is, nice gentleman. And this is not the most interesting thing about this conversation. The interesting thing about this conversation is he's literally just in shorts. He's got no top on. He's in short shorts, and his shorts are below his belly. And, he's got his little whitey showing a little bit.
What?
And I'm just like, dude.
Trying not to talk about the elephant in the room.
I go, "You're literally naked in front of me, but you got your junk covered."
Yeah.
I go, "I appreciate that."
And we're just having this conversation.
We're having this conversation. And I'm generally feeling a little uncomfortable, but trying not to, because he's certainly not having, he's not being inappropriate with
me. It's not a hashtag me too.
No, he's not being inappropriate. He's just literally in.
He's just talking. He's having a conversation in some tidy whities.
Tidy whities, little pair of shorts, and he got flip flops on, got no top, and got a little, he's got like a, not a beer gut, that's heavy, but more like a little soft gut.
Little soft.
It just kind of hangs over. I'm like, he's tan.
Yeah.
Wearing a gold chain.
Ooh.
And he's got curly gray hair, chest hair. And I'm finding him slightly attractive.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
I mean, because he's got to be 70 years old. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'm proud of you for just being who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, you know what? This is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And he's like just talking to me, and you feel like your eyes want to roam.
Yeah,
like I really want to take this all in. I really want to take this all in. But just like eye contact, eye contact. He's like, "Hey, you're the dog. Oh, that's so good. You're working for him and helping him out." When I had the cortisone shots in my knees, that helped me out. And I think it's preventing me from getting my surgery. I don't think I can get my surgery because I got the cortisone shots.
Wow.
I go, "Well, Dad tried that once, but he's got this defective knee, that's kind of bow-legged. I go, I think they really needed to have that replaced and so mm-hmm. forth. And so just talking, it felt like an hour, but I know it's only 5 minutes. And I just like, keep eye contact, don't look down.
Was it daylight or nighttime?
Oh, daylight. Oh, wow. So I was able to keep, but I still took it all in.
Yeah.
Even though it was uncomfortable, I still took it all in.
Yeah, you're such a champ.
And I just like, okay, this was interesting. Yeah. This was really interesting. Yeah. And it was interesting because I've been having very interesting moments. Like, I don't think I mentioned this before on the podcast, but a week ago, and I don't know if I mentioned it last time on the podcast. Or not, you know, I was at the gym. And there was a new woman there at the gym. You know, you get to know the same people over
yeah,
and over again.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You've been there long enough, you get to see them.
Yeah.
There was a new woman
We're
there.
Like family.
And she's probably in her 60s.
Yeah.
Gray hair, but just spitting fire. Maybe late 50s, early 60s.
Right.
You know, still, but very, very social. And she must be a part of the structure in the town because she knew everybody that was going mm-hmm. there that was that age.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, and this never usually happens, but this group of women who were, like, since a newcomer came in,
mm-hmm.
the group women that were all, like, the same age, which very rarely happens.
Really, really rarely.
Happen to all be there doing their own stuff.
Yeah.
Congregate together.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this cute 20-something-year-old
mm-hmm.
comes up and talks to the new woman, you know, and they're mm-hmm. chatting, you know, and mm-hmm. he's helping her do something or whatever. And then he leaves, and they kind of like, oh, thank you. Had like a nice conversation for about a minute, right? Mm-hmm. And he leaves. And then one of the other girls starts giggling and goes, oh, you cougar. Oh, my God, you're such a cougar. I'm like, I don't know if that's appropriate anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And it is so weird because I've been thinking about this to myself that, you know, okay, because of the Me Too movement and because we're so effed up sexually as a nation, as a nation.
Yeah. As a whole,
our holes are dysfunctional. And when you listen to Dan Savage, you kind of get some glimmer of what it could look like healthy.
Yeah.
But the problem is the ones who think they're healthy,
they still
ghost each other when they want to break up, or they still like lie about the situation.
Yeah.
Or they still go.
Are the questions that they call Dan about are really weird.
And also like you know, I'm in this group and we all have sex with each other mm-hmm. and we just found out one person has, you know, herpes and we want to kick him out.
Yeah.
You think that's wrong?
Yeah. Are we sex shaming him?
Yeah. Are we sex shaming
him? Are we herpes shaming
him?
Yeah.
And Dan's like, dude, you're all having sex with each other.
You're all having herpes.
Yeah. And that person who's expressing himself with herpes right now mm-hmm. probably wasn't the one that gave it to you guys.
Exactly.
You probably gave it to that person. And I'm like, that's right, Dan. You know, so, I mean, you realize that even if you think you're sexually okay, you're still effed up.
Yeah.
It was kind of interesting. I was, you know, working for Dad, so I listened to podcasts. And we haven't listened to Dan Savage in a while.
No, we haven't.
And so I
binged
him.
Did you really?
I binged Dan Savage, which meant I needed a shower as soon as I came home.
Yeah.
Literally. I felt dirty. Most not literally, figuratively.
Yeah,
I felt dirty. And then literally I had a shower. So, but it was interesting because When I listened to an order as they popped up, so I listened to the most recent one first.
Okay.
The one that just dropped. I listened to the whole thing, and at the end, this woman calls up and said, and at the end, they have callers.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm responding to episode what, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And they give their own little take, right?
Right.
So this woman calls up, and she says, hi, this is, I'm responding to episode da, 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 about the threesome and the woman who peed in bed. That was me, and I'm really upset. I feel like I have to defend myself because I knew that guy when he called, and he knows I listen to your podcast. And he called me up saying that I peed during our threesome. He goes, but I didn't pee on his bed. I did not pee in his bed. I told him I had a urinary tract infection, and he, you know, decided just to do oral on me. And I'm like, oh, this is why I said, really, we're not even close to being.
Really?
Oh, we're not.
Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay, so then, and then it goes.
Just full disclosure.
Yeah.
While you're having oral on me, I do.
I told the
UTI.
Couple before. Yeah, I did. Told the couple I had a UTI, but I was still into them, and they said fine. I'm like, really? I go, you know, yada yada yada, and then Dan goes, I just want to thank that woman for calling me because we only ever hear one side.
And, yeah, that's true.
And she did, and the caller, the other caller, made her come across like a an a-hole.
Yeah.
And a disrespectful
a-hole. Like a disrespectful bed peer.
So the next one, I heard the guy's conversation who called up.
Oh,
and it was very fascinating because he was going, I felt so, he wanted to say this, and I squirmed because now I heard the woman's point of view. He wanted to say he felt violated because, you know, there were, they all had their loving. You know, him
was
and
it
his
two girls and a boy?
And the new girl, mm-hmm. You know, and they were snuggling afterwards, mm-hmm. and they were just talking about fantasies. Mm-hmm. And the girl goes, oh, you know, don't hold it against me, but I do like to have, you know, pee play, you know. And he goes, and Dan, then the guy goes, you know, Dan, you know, it was everywhere. It was like, you know, all the way through the mattress pad and on the mattress. And, you know, could this have been done because of a UTI and all this stuff? And, you know, and Dan goes, no, listen.
That was some bad blood there.
It just happened because she was being an a-hole and disrespectful. And she peed in your bed.
Dan Savage said this?
Yes, because he only heard
The one side. Whoa.
And so hearing the girl's side first.
Yeah.
And I go, oh my God, how many stories do we only hear one side?
Yes.
So that was weird.
Yes.
And then now skip around a little bit because when I go on podcast binges, you know, I hear a variety, right?
You do,
so
yes.
So I'm also hearing on Hidden Brain, it's an NPR show, or Hidden Mind. Either Hidden Mind or Hidden Brain. I don't know what it's called. Mm-hmm. And they're talking about what makes a good relationship. Like, what makes a good marriage, what makes a good relationship. Mm-hmm. I go, I'll listen to this podcast. That sounds cool. And it was interesting because they were talking to this one guy and who did a whole book on it. And he talked in regards to Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
Maslow. Yeah, Pavlov is the dog.
Yeah, Maslow.
Maslow is the hierarchy of needs. Yeah,
and he goes, initially I thought that we're not happier now because people aren't happy in their marriage.
No, people aren't happy in general.
And the reason why, he said, there's a lot of reasons why. He goes, back in the day, you got married because, what's the lowest hierarchy? You know, survival.
Basic needs met.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you just have, so when that's your goal.
Yeah.
A lot of crap can go on.
Yeah.
Your basic needs are met.
But we're getting our basic,
yeah,
we're figuring out how to get our basic
and
needs
he goes,
met.
So,
chop wood, carry water.
And he goes, so what happens is a lot of times, and so they were talking about this, and then in the 60s, it was more the next part, which is for love. You know, it was almost shameful to marry for
100%.
For status.
100%.
Or for those yeah. lower levels.
Yeah.
So you marry for love.
Yeah.
And now he goes, I don't know what happened, but now we put so much pressure on the relationship that it now has to help you become self-actualized.
Yes.
You find the partner that will make you a better you. Mm-hmm. So he goes, my God, how much pressure are you putting on these relationships? Now the relationship has to make you a better you.
Right.
And he goes, when I wrote the book, I thought to myself,
which book is this?
I can't remember now.
I don't know. All right. That's okay.
Because I heard another podcast right afterwards about relationships as well. I'm like, this is so crazy.
Okay.
I think it's called Why You Pick the Wrong Spouse. Mm-hmm. Why You Always Pick the Wrong Partner. No. How to pick the right. That was the other podcast, this guy who said, how do you pick the wrong partner? I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, don't worry.
But anyway, he was talking, he goes, but there are some ways that we can make ourselves better in our relationship. Mm-hmm. Some hacks, he called, and I laughed out loud when he said hacks. Because I'm like, we're all into relationship hacks.
Exactly. We hack this, we hack that.
And he said he was, you know, he's married.
We're just so cool.
He's married to his best friend, he says.
Oh.
And they used to travel a lot and just have a good time. They'd have fun together.
Oh.
And then they had a baby.
Oh.
And they traveled the cross country with the baby, mm-hmm. 8-month-old.
And that sounds like fun.
Exactly. He said it was the worst experience. He said, I almost had a breakdown.
Yeah.
And
that's how I feel with Elliot.
Yeah.
Traveling with Elliot.
Yeah. Poor little guy. And then, because I wish I never would have told my wife this. Because I made her feel bad and she started crying, and I feel bad about that. But during our vacation together with the baby, I needed a little time alone. So I went, went for a hike. I came back and I said, you know, I'm really struggling here, but I think I figured out how I can get through this. Because I can do this. And he's meaning the marriage. If I just lower my expectation and not strive to have fun with you anymore.
That's like, right.
Just endure this.
Exactly.
And she began to cry because she's like, I don't want to look at our marriage for the next 20 years as just this thing you're enduring and that you're not going to have any fun with me anymore. Because yeah. That makes me feel sad.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, I guess I shouldn't have said anything, you know.
That is goes, interesting, though.
Because, but what he said was, when you have a new baby in the household, it literally takes, they figured out, 38 extra hours a week. 38 extra hours. He goes, where does those hours come from?
Yeah.
He goes, they get taken away from your family, from your relationships.
Yeah.
And sleep.
Yeah.
He goes, they get taken away like that. And he goes, so lowering your expectation is a good way.
When I heard him say that, I go, well, that's fine.
That's totally fine.
Yeah.
He goes, and cutting your jealousy some slack, he said. What else?
What's so interesting, too, is because, like, when, you know, me and Dad were only married a couple of months.
Yeah.
When we had you.
Yeah, and also, you were scared shitless, had no money.
Yeah.
It's like...
But we never, you know, knew what it was like to spend time together.
No, that's true. That was
we
true.
Always had you.
No, and I hear about this all the time from you. Like,
what?
Oh, like, I've never spent any real time with your father. I can't, you know, when will this ever happen? We'll always be alone. And I'm like...
Then as soon as I do have any real time with him, I'm freaked out.
Yes, it's like
I'm like, oh my God, Julie,
maybe this is too much time with each other.
Yeah,
maybe. And he, you know, so then I happened to go to that was on Hidden Brain, and then I went to On Being, which I
love.
Yeah, and she was interviewing a man who had written this number one. By a long shot, most read article on the internet in New York Times, and it
Whoa.
Was he might and I think he wrote a book when he was 23 called Unloving or something like that, but his article was called Why You Always Marry the Wrong Spouse, and it just was like by gangbusters was like the number one article for the whole year. And so hearing her talk to him about marriage and relationships, it was like, okay, it was like my race thing 2 weeks ago where like she saw the clear blue sky.
You yes.
Had two podcasts.
Oh my God.
On race. And I got two podcasts on relationships.
Yeah.
And then you go, okay, am I being programmed here? Because you know how that happens on TV where you see the same character.
Oh.
The same like, you know.
I'm going to tell you something really quick.
Yeah.
Last night, I turned on, what's 13? NBC? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Seth Meyers is interviewing Andy Cohen. No, he goes, stay tuned, everybody. Andy Cohen's on next. So, commercial. So I skip over to Channel 23, which is, I think it's ABC or something. And Stephen Colbert is saying, stay tuned, everybody. Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper are on next.
Oh.
And they were both on at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And he was hawking their AC 360 or whatever that is, the two Andys.
Yeah.
And they were hawking it.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And both shows were like old. They were not fresh.
Oh my gosh! And you're like, I'm being programmed.
I felt like I was in a different dimension.
Yeah.
It was like I felt like I've been feeling lately like there have been time slips.
Yeah.
And that I'm somehow being recalibrated.
Yeah.
With these time slips.
Yeah.
And so I'm just sort of going. I'm going with the flow, but. It was extremely weird.
Oh, my God.
It was extremely weird because right before that, I had been watching Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and it was Stephen Colbert was on it, you know?
And I think...
And so I turn on Stephen Colbert is saying, Andy Cohen and Anderson Cooper are going to be on next. I go to another commercial. Seth Meyers is saying, Andy Cohen is on next. I'm like, okay, Chris... Settle down. Take a chill. Don't get... It's a time warp.
Time warp.
It's a time warp. It's you're recalibrating, you know, but that's my story.
Did you recalibrate?
I'm assuming I recalibrated.
That's good.
I think I'm also being downloaded as well, though.
Okay.
With a major activation.
Well,
that's why I've been going crazy for a little bit.
Share with you. Mm-hmm. First of all, who was Cleopatra's baby called? What was her baby called? It's a male baby with Julius Caesar. They had a baby together.
It wasn't Moses. No. I know that.
I'm asking you this because it's a funny name.
Oh, is it?
And it means...
Yeah, but give me the first initial.
C.
C?
Or S. It sounds like an S, but I think it's spelled a C. And it's a female operation.
No way.
What?
Like clitoris something?
Is that an operation? It's clitoris like something.
Clitorectomy. Clitorisectomy.
That's what, yes, she named her son.
That's horrible.
Clitorectomy? Yes.
I'm kind of peeing a little bit right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's what she named her baby, clitoris.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What was the last name?
I know. Patra. Cleopatrick?
Yeah.
Is it Cleopatrick? Patrick. Cleopatra.
Cleopatrick and Moses.
No. Moses.
Not Moses. Julius Caesar. JC.
Julius Caesar dies.
Yeah.
And then Mark Anthony comes in.
Oh, yeah.
And marries Cleopatra.
That's right. She was pregnant.
And he says, this is what the movie said. Because they're talking about this movie being very romantic. But the truth is, it was all about status. The only reason why this movie was going on is they needed to have power. And
of course.
In those days, to marry, you know, Egypt and Rome were two very powerful
countries
and, you know, and nations. And if you guys could get married, at least you weren't at war.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's a good thing.
Interesting. So they married Mark Anthony then. So their last name was Anthony.
Yes. Yes.
Cleopatra and little clitorectomy.
Yes.
Anthony.
No, it was not clitorectomy, by the way.
No. Clitorisectomy.
Yes, that's it. No. It's called, ready? Cesarean. Cesarean.
Oh, my God. Julius Caesar had a baby, and his name was Cesarean.
And I thought, now, is that why we have...
C-sections.
Yeah. I mean, is Cesarean come from that?
Sure.
From why?
Of course.
Because did he come out that way? It was a C-section?
I bet.
And they're like, from now on, Cleopatra said,
from now on,
every child that is cut...
Anytime a baby has to come out... From the womb here.
Yeah, with a C-section.
We're going to call it cesarean.
Cesarean.
After me. After my baby.
Yes.
Good thing they didn't call it a Cleopatra. Oh, my God. I got to go into the hospital for a Cleopatra.
Yeah, for Cleopatra. Like, oh, why the name of Cleopatra?
That could still be a C-section.
Sure, see Cleopatra. Yeah. Cleopatra.
Yeah.
Not Patrick.
I love Cleopatra, though.
Yeah.
I'm calling it Cleopatra.
So I know that was interesting. You know, don't know why I found that fascinating.
I find it Yeah. Any more information you want to ask me questions about? Because maybe I do know more stuff than I think I know.
You do know stuff. I mean, no doubt about it. Yeah. So then here's this other rabbit hole I went down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm driving, and you said, be prepared, be aware of things that happen in threes.
Yes. I said double is significant, but I told you that if it happens in threes, be on the mackerel.
Holy mackerel, exactly.
Pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
Am I holding the microphone?
No, you're fine.
Too close?
No, it's not you. Okay. It's not you.
It's the boy.
It's me.
It's you.
Just a little bit. I'm not high enough to you, or now I'm low enough. It's all good.
Okay.
But anyway, well, when I was driving, two things happened. One was seeing this guy in his late 40s, early 50s in like a new Mustang convertible, mm-hmm. maybe a Shelby. I'm not 100% sure. It could have been a Shelby.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cute. For a split second, I saw him do something that I love to do, and I just felt a kinship to him.
Masturbate?
Yes. He was masturbating in his convertible. And I go, you go.
You go, girl.
You go, girl.
You gave him the...
I gave the thumbs up.
You gave him the thumbs up and the masturbation
I
sign.
I said, thumbs up, thumbs down. Big pile of poop. Everybody's got them about me, not you. No. Something like that. Opinions. Talking about opinions. No. He was doing the plane wave outside his car as he was driving.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but this thing?
Yeah.
When I see it in, you know, I think of freedom. I think of people feeling good.
Yeah.
Listening to some good tunes.
Yeah.
And doing the wave out of their car.
Yes. And so then I
go
saw...
go cruising down the highway without a care in the world.
Mm-hmm. Then another guy I saw do it as well. He was younger, 19 to 25. Except he was doing it inside of his car. In the middle, with his right hand. And he was talking, he was just doing the wave sign up and down. I'm like, what's this guy doing? I go, oh, there's something wrong with you. I can understand doing this outside the car window,
but doing it
inside the car, what possibly is going on in that car that you are doing this? And I'm like, he's just jamming the tunes.
Yeah,
you know, I've done that.
Yeah.
And so I didn't see it three times, but I certainly joined them.
Right.
And so my time was a third one.
Yes. Oh, you did join it then.
Yeah.
So you became the third.
Yes. And then I realized it represented that life has hills and valleys,
yes,
ups and downs.
Yes.
But if you're in the, if you're on the ride and in the plane,
yes,
you can at least enjoy it.
Yeah.
Because it feels good going up and it feels good going down.
Oh, it's like life is like a roller coaster.
Yes, life is like a roller coaster. It's all the same BS, I know. But anyway, so that was one thing. And then I got on this tangent.
And I also want to tell you to think positive thoughts.
Yes, thank you.
Life is like a roller coaster.
Make lemonade out of lemons.
That's right.
If you see a pile of poo,
there's got to be a pony.
Yep, a nice pony there. Mm-hmm. So thank you for reminding me that, you know, as we travel on this journey together,
yes,
you know, always think positive.
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Now, the other thing that I saw or experienced on this trip, and I want to share this because I've had anxieties about this issue. And I've heard four different stories now.
On right relationships?
No. It's kind of about adults being bullies to the world. Like doing behaviors that just are giving a finger to the world.
Whoa.
I'm going to share one with you.
Whoa.
So in Chicago, they have pigeons, a lot of pigeons, and sometimes they take residence in the weirdest places. And you're walking under a bridge and you might get crapped on because there's a ton of pigeons underneath here taking up residence and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's actually a part of the city that goes through and tries to clean that up every night and tries to get the pigeons out of there.
Mm.
And there was a confrontation between this one guy's job.
Mm-hmm.
He was washing or whatever. And at the time, another alderman was going with him. An alderman was going with him to see how it was being done and if they're if it was working.
Mm-hmm.
And they met up with this woman. And this woman was feeding the pigeons defiantly, because she had been warned before to not feed the pigeons, saying, "Please don't feed the pigeons."
Mm-hmm.
And they asked her again, it's against the law to feed the pigeons. Please don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to call the police. And he goes, "These are God's creatures. And I will feed the pigeons if I damn well want to feed the pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't make me."
Mm-hmm.
And so her job all night long, she would go to different places and just feed the pigeons, throw out bird seed.
Wow.
Just throw out bird seed or rice. And, which is okay. It's a myth.
Got it.
That birds blow up.
Oh, okay.
With rice.
Right. That's what I thought.
It's a myth. So that was one. I'm going, well, gosh, darn it. That's just amazing.
Yeah.
Now, in the U of I, I think it was at U of I in Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, they have an urban cat population problem. Somewhere on campus, I think this is where it, I know it's in Illinois. I think it's U of I. They're counting it like this group of cats, equaling about 38 to 40 right now, are just living on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And they've asked the residents and, you know,
please don't feed the cats.
And teachers, like, please don't feed the cats.
Because
they're procreating and we're going to have like 100 million cats here. Stop feeding the damn cats. They're wild cats. They're not.
They'll go someplace else.
Yeah, and they won't have so many, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just like saying, hey, everyone, come to University of Illinois. They feed you there, and they have no expectations. They just give out food all the time. They're just like, hey, awesome. And they don't care that we're not indoors. They don't give us any place to poop. We can put it everywhere we want to.
Plus, at the end of all this, we get a degree.
Yeah, exactly. And so they interviewed one of the professors who was in charge of taking care of this and how horrible it is for the animals to have, you know, we shouldn't have this many cats at one place mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And then they interviewed a woman and going, I do not see why I cannot feed these cats.
Oh my God.
And I am going to continue to feed these cats. Mm-hmm. I'm an American citizen. I am American. I should be able to feed the cats. And so you've got these 2 points here.
It's in the Bill of Rights.
Yes, exactly. You should be able to feed cats. And I remember Uncle David, you know, I remember being with him at my 30th birthday. I think it was my 30th birthday. You guys paid me to go out and see him.
To go to California.
Which
yeah.
is nice. It was a nice yeah. little trip. Yeah. We were hanging out together in San Francisco. And he was feeding the pigeons. Mm-hmm. He brought bread out and he was just throwing bread out. Mm-hmm. Police officer came over and talked to him mm-hmm. saying, could you please not feed the birds? Mm-hmm. So Dave was like, oh, sure. No problem, officer. No problem. Mm-hmm. And he waited till the officer was out of sight. Mm-hmm. Began feeding the birds again. Just throwing bird feed out.
The minister?
Yes.
Reverend David?
Yes. And he goes, I have just this biggest fantasy being in Italy, you know, sitting in the circle or the, you know, the mm-hmm. of a town, what do you mm-hmm. ever call that mm-hmm. area, and just feeding the pigeons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen that iconic scene in movies yes. over and over again. Yes. And what you don't see is the amount of bird crap, you know, that's yes. on the courtyard.
Oh, yes.
You know?
Oh, yes.
And so... And it's so funny because we're being programmed to want those things. And Florence is having a huge, huge problem right now.
With?
Well, you might as well just call them. They're just as destructive as pigeons. Tourists.
it's like, those damn tourists.
Literally.
You can't keep feeding them.
Yeah, exactly. They said it's the town is just being ruined. By all of these tourists. Like, I think there's only 300,000 people that live in this town in Florence. Mm-hmm. But
how many?
300,000.
Oh, my God.
But, like, 3 million every day come as a tourist.
Oh, God. That's too much on the city.
Oh, it's just... And people are, you know, and if you don't get good Yelp reviews, mm-hmm. you know, or some people who get, like, astounding Yelp reviews, there'll be a line around the building waiting which means that the businesses next to it, people can't come to them because mm-hmm. they're inundated with other tourists. Mm. And it's just becoming this big, huge hassle.
And what about all the cat crap?
Oh, exactly. Well, I'm glad you ased that because... This is on NPR. They were hearing the story. And at one point, I'm hearing water, like liquid, hitting the ground. I'm like, oh, my God, we are horrible people. The tourists are just peeing in the courtyard. And
is that true?
No, it wasn't true. What it sounded like that. But what it was is a person in one of these stores every hour washes off her front porch or her in front of her store.
Sure.
So that... Tourists just don't decide to sit there and have their bag lunches. And it's like, you know, I'm like, oh my God, she has to use water to keep the tourists away. Like, I'm a lawyer. Get off my front stoop, mother effing. You know?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's just crazy.
Oh my gosh.
And so then I was also reading.
But that is how Italy operates, though. Like, if you go someplace, you always have to have your little bag lunch and you got to stop and sit someplace, wherever it is.
And so they said 6 years ago, 300 million people were traveling. Now we're at 1 billion people traveling worldwide.
A day?
Maybe. Or
Lord,
annually.
Lord,
but
Lord.
Just people are just traveling. They feel
what
it's their...
Is there
right.
Constitutional right.
Yeah, and they're not all Americans either.
Yeah.
They said this one woman they were interviewing, she was Australian, and she said it was so
and
hard.
So, and are they good tourists? That's what you're asking.
Right.
Can we be conscientious?
Well, the tourists are starting to hate the other tourists.
Like, because, why are you here?
Because it's so crowded. They said we were taking a tour with our tour guide, and it was a Chinese tour group, a Japanese tour group, an Australian tour group, an American tour group, and a Canadian tour group had all of a sudden kind of, you know, converged, and they're all chit-chatting away and trying to hear their own tour guide talking about Copernicus. And they're like, oh, this is just horrible. Like, we can't, I did not travel this far to be this around this many people. This is horrible.
You know, it's interesting. You're talking about these different, in our little park here in Dixon, we have a sign, please don't feed our is it ducks? Is
ducks,
that what
yeah.
It, and it said, because if you feed our ducks, it gives them a certain disease that has, they only have half wings and they can't fly.
And it's called angel wings.
It's called angel wings. It's pretty to look at, but they can't, they're so debilitated by it. And the truth is, probably 90% of the ducks have angel wings because nobody obeys the sign.
No, exactly.
People go, oh, how can it hurt these poor ducks? But these poor ducks now have these, what they're called is angel wings.
Yeah.
But they only have half wings. They're just all debilitated.
Yeah.
And they're addicted to, like, five-day-old bread.
Yeah, exactly.
Although
white bread. Yeah, they'll eat anything.
Yeah.
And they just come on your car. They just like herd your car.
Yeah.
Like, oh, their car's here.
No, they come by your car. Go, oh, please. And they could be just, they should be having the fish in the river.
Yeah. You know, doing their own bird stuff. But no, we got to ruin everything.
It really is sad.
It is sad. And then I was finally reading this one article in our trucker magazine. And it was sharing this story about this one trucker who... And I'm like, you know, I'm always on the side of truckers, you know. I got their back.
Oh, yeah.
You know, don't talk bad about truckers. I got their back. But they were saying this one trucker was arrested and, like, going to spend, like, quite a bit of time in jail. Going to the big house, going to prison. Because while driving, he was taking his BB gun and blowing out windows while driving of cars.
That's ridiculous.
And he hit a kid.
No trucker does that.
Well, this trucker did. And the weird thing is that this trucker has, in his past, had other priors, you know, that were like spread out. Three other priors that were spread out like 10 years of just nuisance
just
stuff.
Just being mischievous.
Yes.
You little imp.
And I thought, oh, this is just to the good degree of feeding the birds.
Yeah.
You know? And just, it's like their way of just
giving the finger
to the society.
Yeah.
As a whole. Like, they're anarchists. At their gut level, they're anarchists.
Yeah.
Like, no one's going to tell them what to do.
Like, Norm got another tattoo today.
Sure.
And
wonderful.
You made him promise not to get any more for the rest of his life.
I said he's done.
I said,
are you done?
I
did not ask him, by the way.
Yes, me.
Yeah, because I know who's giving him the tattoos. You're the one making sure he gets the tattoo parlor. Nothing on his arm, by the way, has been a suggestion on his own. This is called his, you know, if this makes my wife happy, happy wife, happy life.
Yeah, it's exactly.
I will die head to toe covered in tattoos starting at the age of 65 if this makes my wife happy. And
But he was, you know, in the tattoo parlor talking to the artist, you know. And they were talking about Trump. And he said, I can't remember why I brought this up, but he said, you know, I'm just so sad because they dissed Harley and Harley's got to leave because Harley Davidson, you know, is an American icon.
Yeah.
Now, why would I be thinking about that? What were we talking about?
His tattoos.
No, before
giving it a finger to America, society, anarchists.
Anarchists. I don't know.
Okay. But Daddy was sad about Harley Davidson.
Yeah.
So the guy
was talking about his Harley and his friends all have Harleys. And Norm did say, well, I have a Harley Davidson golf cart.
Did he feel like
he felt like
in the
he
same
was,
tribe?
They were all
as
the
hardcore tattoo guys with Harleys.
Norm's got his little tattoo and his Harley Davidson golf cart.
Yeah, oh, good. I'm glad Dad felt part of the tribe. Dad, film part of, you know, it would be hysterical if I saw Father in his Harley golf cart driving really fast to the governor. This thing will do 45 now. I took the governor off. Go 45 in the highway.
He was telling, I can't remember what he was saying, something about how children can get smarter. He said he heard that if you lay a child down and you put a pet on their belly and you make them breathe up and breathe down, and but watch the pet go up and down, that it will cause that child to focus and actually become smarter. Now, here's
the thing.
They're
just meditating.
Yeah. But there's so many things wrong with that.
Yeah.
First, the idea of just getting a child to lay down for that long.
Yeah. Second, how long? 10 minutes?
I don't really know. But and second, where are you going to find a pet that's going to be like interested in just sitting on the kid's belly?
Yeah.
You know.
So you've got to train the kid to do that, and you got to train the pet to lay on the kid's belly.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then you're thinking, there's a lot of work here for the parent.
Yeah.
That ain't can't happen.
Yeah. This is just too wrong.
Yeah.
So I kind of toward the end I started to tune him out and was like.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Norm, you're just talking. Yeah. I'm agreeing with you.
I see his mouth moving, but
yeah.
as long as he can look cute.
Yeah.
That's
and
fine.
I know that you love the tats, but I could you possibly be done? I like the idea that he's got one clean arm, I think.
Yes.
But it's weird seeing my father with these tattoos. Oh, can I tell you one story real quick about On Being, talking to this man who wrote the article in the book about marriage. He said he got into a little tiff with his wife, very little one. He goes, his wife had asked him to make some tea for her. And he goes, I don't really feel like it. And she goes, oh my God, my dad would have had no problem doing that. And he goes, yeah, I know. He was your dad. I'm not your effing dad. I'm your husband. He goes, your dad probably did this to your mother.
But for you,
he'll make tea.
He'd make the tea.
He goes,
That's probably true.
Because I have kids now.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, you are a better, if you're a good parent,
yeah.
You typically are kinder to your
kids.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, dad would do anything for you.
Yes.
He would do anything for you.
Exactly.
It just drives me crazy.
I know it does. And so it's cute to
see. So I go to you now and I go, here's what I want you
here's
to
what I want done. Can you make manipulate
Dad
the situation
do
so that Norm does this
yes,
for me?
Yes, exactly.
And so I thought that was so cute that in this day and age, we have more and more parents who love their kids.
Yeah.
Are like, you know,
yeah.
Try to be a better, you
yeah.
know.
How's that possible?
Because you guys all had shitty parents.
Yeah.
And you're like, least we could do is not
I was
do
listening
they
to Steinfeld and who was he talking with? Comedians in cars getting coffee. Oh, he's talking to Sarah Jessica Parker. They were riding around. And they were talking about how they only remember their mother screaming.
Ah. Yeah.
And you know, now it's like, oh, my God. Parents have got to just like, please, children, yeah. love me,
love.
Like me.
Yeah.
And in those days, it's like, they could care less whether you like
yeah.
them or not.
They're, and maybe because.
Like, shut up or I'm going to smack you if you're driving in the car, you know.
I'm just guessing. Maybe because of the lifespan, we're living longer. And maybe you go, well, there's a chance that I could have my kid in my life for 60 years.
Yeah.
But back then, you're like, yeah, I'll have you at 25 and I'll die at 55, you know? So, you know, whether you like me for those last 10 years.
Or like, I'll have you at 25 and you'll leave the house at 17.
At 17. And you know, and it's so funny because I know I didn't help pay for college back then. I didn't, wasn't even in the register.
No.
And yet college wasn't that expensive.
Right.
You know, so yeah. I find that
well,
very
also,
interesting.
It was different. If you were working class or blue collar.
Yeah.
It really wasn't in your orbit.
No.
To even think about college.
No,
you stepped out. You might go to secretary school.
Exactly.
You know, but boy, how dare you think about college?
How dare you? How dare you? So that was what I want to tell you. And there was something more. Oh, Lyme disease update. We haven't had one of these in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I came home a day and I said, you know, I want to share. So you're like, oh, you look so good. You say, you've been working a lot, but you look really good, Julie. You're doing great. I'm like, how do you feel? I go, well, honestly, I don't feel horrible, but I'm getting some residual Lyme disease symptoms going on. And I don't know what to do about it. And you're like, oh, no, I don't know if I take this. And it was so cute because I debated about telling you.
I know.
But because, you know, because of Dad. It's always, I feel like you feel, it's like, oh, the next shoe's going to drop. I can't trust anything. And, you know, you can trust everything, that everything will be okay in the long run.
All's well that ends well.
And so in some ways, I want you just to keep ride the plane wave.
Keep riding the plane.
Keep riding the plane. Yeah. Enjoy the ups and the downs.
Keep going a little crazy.
Exactly. Go a little crazy. Back off a little bit.
Buy some more golf carts.
Exactly. Oh, please.
Because like you're having some more meningitis symptoms.
Just some meningitis symptoms.
Yeah.
The meningitis symptoms. You know, and I'll deal with it. You know, I'll figure it out. Oh, can I do a quick movie review?
Just going to drop the meningitis thing?
Yeah, I was going to say something more about it, and now I don't know what to say. I mean, it's just like the update is I may be having some more symptoms. My year anniversary was the end of June. I had my last antibiotic a year ago, the end of July. So, and I got off my medicine that I hated so much, my brain, like 3 months ago, 4 months ago. And so now I'm just noticing a little bit of a...
Oh, boy, I hope you have to take that brain medicine.
I refuse to. Yeah. I refuse to.
Yeah.
But...
Your movie review, then.
My movie review. The Happy Time Murders.
Yeah.
The Muppet movie. Mm-hmm. They're not really Muppets. They're Muppet-like.
Yeah, because they...
Jim Henson's son wrote this and directed this movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Went with Doug today. Mm-hmm. And it's a train wreck. I laughed several times. I just told Doug in the middle of something, going, they must have had a month together where they just, or even a couple of weeks, where they wanted to just get really high and make puppets do the most ridiculous things in the whole wide world. It's rated R. Mm-hmm. And if it was humans, it would be a hard R. Mm. One couple nude scenes.
By the puppets?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Joel McHale's in it.
Yeah, I saw that. Preview.
Melissa McCarthy's in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Julie or Jenny, what's her name? The realtor girl that does all the realtor commercials, realtor.com commercials. She was in Pitch Perfect. What's her name?
Is she in Family, Modern Family?
No.
Mm-mm. Are you sure?
Yeah, 100%. That's not the same person.
Oh, okay.
Totally different people.
Yeah, I know that girl. She's the judge in Pitch Perfect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Julie Brown, I think is her name, of the Modern Family. Mm-hmm. I could be totally wrong mm-hmm. by this. She's in it. And I thought to myself, these people just want, they were all high. Mm-hmm. And they just wanted to have a good time. They must have all known each other mm-hmm. because there's no reason this should have been made. It was so bad. And there's one scene where the puppet, the male puppet, just had relations. And then shows his happiness all over the room for literally a minute. And it was Silly String. So it was just Silly String spraying all over the room.
It's like a sight gag.
And I'm like, what am I watching?
Yeah.
And I'm that laughing. This is like, crazily just...
And you should have known when there was only 10 people in the show.
Yeah. And I've been wanting to see some going. I go, there's just not a lot of previews for this. They're not putting a lot of money into the advertising. Right. But it was wild. Just wild. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, you know how they have bloopers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sure the whole movie was just a blooper.
It was. But what we saw was how they made it. And a lot of times, you'd have the puppeteer in green, in mm-hmm. a green sock, basically, mm-hmm. while they're moving the animal mm-hmm. and or moving the puppet. And then they'll say something like, well, the puppet said the line, like I'm going to go down on you or something like mm-hmm. that. And then they'll laugh because they're like, I can't believe we're saying this about our puppets. I'm like, yeah, dude, I can't believe you're saying this about your puppets either. This is totally ridiculous. Totally ridiculous. So if I do a Sherpa review, I don't even know what to say. I mean,
you're still trying to process it.
I guess one star.
Whoa.
But I laughed 3 or 4 times.
Whoa.
But the time in between laughing,
you know what,
was uncomfortable.
Oh, really? See, I would probably, when it comes to the video store,
yeah,
I'd probably get it. Was it a quick 90 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if it was 90 minutes, right? I bet it was like less than that even.
Well, the previews were longer than 90 minutes. That's what it felt like. I felt like it couldn't be, you know, like it couldn't be any longer than 9 minutes. You know, it just is what it is. So I recommend it if you don't mind.
If you don't mind silly string.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But, you know, Melissa McCarthy, though, I know we're going to wind up.
Yeah,
but
we're done.
She's just looking beautiful lately.
Yeah, she does. And, boy, she just likes to swear. And I had to point out her husband because her husband does a bit role in this.
He always does. I'm sure she goes, I'll do it, but you got to give my husband a gratuitous
And it's
role.
Just exactly what it is. Yeah. It's like now it's like Orson Welles. Where's Orson Welles in the picture?
Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh, that's it. Not Orson Welles. Alfred Hitchcock. That's it. Where's Alfred Hitchcock?
Stephen King was always in too.
So like, where's Melissa's husband at? Where's
Melissa's husband? Who's the guy that did, you know, the younger guy that did, I don't know, the John Travolta, you know, this movie?
Pulp Fiction? Yeah. Tarantino?
Yeah. He's always in his, isn't he?
A lot of times he is. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So
speaking of that, you know, the high school teacher that saw our movie that's on YouTube, the Broken Hoe Boogie, said that we were Tarantino-esque.
Oh, yes.
Our movie was.
There you go. We were Tarantino. And so you can go to YouTube Broken Hoe Boogie.
Broken Hoe Boogie.
Hopefully it'll come up. And that's the end of our show. Go to weightlossandstress.com. And pray for me, and I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
And how was the show today, girlfriend? I know I did a lot of dumping, but...
No, it was great, Jules.
It was great.
I'm going to pray for you.
Thanks. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great. It was great.